This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. Welcome back to Case Closed. This week, we begin with Barry Craig, confidential investigator. You'll hear his story from December 12th, 1951, titled Death and the Purple Cow. After that, it's Walk Softly, Peter Troy, and the second Peter Troy. That story aired March 24th, 1964.
William Gargan stars as Barry Craig, confidential investigator.
Murderers rarely have many friends. People can't keep up with them. You see, folks, they set such a killing pace.
The National Broadcasting Company presents William Gargan in another transcribed drama of mystery and adventure with America's number one detective, Barry Craig, confidential investigator.
Barry Craig speaking. In my business, a guy doesn't have many friends. We know too much about people. The wrong kind of things and maybe the wrong kind of people. Or are there any different kinds? I wouldn't know the answer to that one. But after time enough and jobs enough, about the only thing the investigator can be sure is clean is his license, if he keeps it under glass. The hours are lousy, too. Hello, Willie.
Evening, Mr. Craig. You want some coffee?
In Willie's wagon?
Lay off the cracks. It looks like coffee. It smells like coffee.
And it tastes like sulfuric acid. I'll have a cup.
Thanks. How about some nourishment?
I'll have a couple of donuts instead.
A couple? What do you think I am, a weightlifter? Just watch your teeth working on them. Hey, you on a job?
No.
Well, then, what's keeping you up this late?
Your coffee, mostly.
You didn't have any before you walked in here.
I can dream, can't I? Besides...
Yeah?
I felt like company. Private eye gets tired of his own thoughts pretty quick.
Why don't you quit thinking? I did half a dozen years ago. I've been a happy man since. Business. What'll it be, bud?
Does it have to be anything?
I seen one of those before.
Back up. Against the wall, huh?
Sure.
Hold it, Craig.
The personal touch?
Just sit there. Work on your donuts and coffee.
I eat just as well without a gun.
That's to keep you quiet, not stimulate your appetite.
Thanks for explaining. Why do I have to be quiet?
I want it that way.
Uh-huh. Just keep Craig quiet week?
Yeah. I just passed the resolution.
In a little while, I'm going to get sleepy.
Don't let it bother you.
My point is, do I have to be quiet only in Willie's wagon, or can I go be quiet at home?
Craig.
Yeah?
I tried for you at your office first. The elevator man told me you'd probably be here.
Jake's a prophet.
Anybody else comes calling for you, the elevator man will tell him the same thing.
You make it sound like a procession visiting Craig at midnight. Business isn't that good.
Not a procession. One customer.
You could give him a name?
Sure.
And when he gets here, what happens?
I discourage him about consulting you.
You reason with him?
I discourage him.
Hey, Bud, how about me sitting down?
You got a seat back at the counter?
No, but there's one in the kitchen.
Also a telephone?
I ain't checked recently.
Keep leaning against the wall.
This customer of mine, suppose he looks in here before he pushes the door open.
So?
He'll spot you.
That's all right.
Hmm. Look, if I'm going to stay awake, I'll need more coffee.
You?
Yeah?
Mr. Craig wants some more coffee.
Okay. There's your coffee, Mr. Craig.
Thanks. Well, it's an awful slow client I'm supposed to have.
You'll be along.
Maybe you frighten him off tonight. What happens tomorrow?
People run out of tomorrow sometimes.
Yeah.
All right, that could be him. Stay put, boys.
I could use a client.
Not this one. He won't be any use at all.
Too bad. Hey, Willie, what'd you put in this cup?
Huh?
Tastes more like concentrated lye than coffee.
Shut up.
It's an insult, not coffee. Here, you try it. It was hot, wasn't it? I'll take the gun now.
Let go. Let go.
What the? Those shots came from the door.
Yeah. Car took the corner on a couple of wheels. Couldn't spot the license.
That guy's bleeding all over the floor.
Yeah. Well, he'll stop in a little while, will he? No more blood.
Yeah?
Yeah. His heart isn't pumping it anymore. The coffee I'd spilled in his face caked before the cops got to Willie's. It made him look very untidy.
The deceased's name was John Largo, Mr. Craig.
Thanks for telling me, Lieutenant Rogers.
It would appear he was an executive from St. Louis.
You mean executioner?
A little early for indulging in theory, Barry.
Not theory. The guy announced his job.
The announcement was perhaps ambiguous. Largo was versatile. The numbers, jewels, slot machine.
Okay, Trav. I know about a police officer's keeping his mind open. Must be drafty, though.
Barry.
Yeah?
According to your report, Largo intended to discourage a client of yours.
That's right.
Which client?
A client who hadn't hired me yet.
But who had indicated he might.
Trav, all these questions will maybe look good on a report, but I've told you all I know.
I'm not happy about it.
Well, maybe if I'd gone to college like you, I'd know more. The way it is...
Now, you mustn't hold that college degree against me, Barry.
I forgive you.
Any psychiatrist will tell you it was my mother's fault. But I've got to bring something in for the captain.
Isn't a fresh corpse enough? Trav let me go after a while. It had been a dull night. Willie's wagon was lousy with the press, and Trav had to concentrate on the department's public relations. I started for home, made a detour, and headed for the office on Madison Avenue. Jake would still be on duty, making sure nobody stole the building. Jake. Jake.
Any cow wants to get milk, she can come to me. I ain't going out in the middle of the night.
Jake, you're not on the farm anymore.
What? Oh, too bad.
You should have stayed up in Vermont.
No, I got tired of it.
Why?
Too close to New Hampshire. I've been kind of expecting you.
Yeah, I noticed your wide eyes. Jake, a little over an hour ago, a small, fair-haired man was here asking for me.
Yeah, I remember him. I told him you was out getting poisoned over at Willie's. He find you?
He found me. What I'm more interested in is the second person who asked for me tonight.
I don't blame you.
What?
I said I don't blame you.
Must be your Vermont accent. Never mind blaming. That second person was a client.
I know that.
A client of mine, from the looks of things, committed murder a half hour ago.
Your office must be getting pretty crowded.
My office? Jake, didn't you tell my client where I was?
Client didn't ask. Preferred to wait in your office.
In my... Oh, that's what you meant about it getting crowded.
Yeah.
But the murder didn't take place in my office. Not the one I'm talking about, anyway.
That's nice. Makes less work for the cleaning women.
But in that case... Never mind. Take me upstairs.
Yep. Going up?
Where else would I be going?
I don't know. Them's my instructions. Always ask the passenger which direction he's going.
Jake, what kind of a man was he?
Who's that?
The one up in my office.
Well, up in Vermont, we wouldn't call him a man.
You wouldn't?
No.
What would you call him?
A girl.
This wasn't my night for appearing smart. I stared at Jake with my mouth open until we reached the third floor. By that time, I managed to get it shut. Jake went back downstairs. I went down the hall to my office and went in. And discovered that we'd call her a girl in New York, too.
Mr. Craig?
Yeah? Sorry I kept you waiting.
Oh, that's all right. After all, you didn't know I was waiting for you, did you?
I guess I didn't.
Well, I was.
You had an idea about hiring me?
Actually, it was my brother's idea.
I see.
Oh, that is, I'm Sally Marlin. My brother is Donald Marlin.
It figures.
You're laughing at me?
No.
I wouldn't like you to, even though I'm not doing this very well.
Exactly what are you doing?
Oh, explaining. Donald's in trouble.
The world isn't doing too well either.
Are you trying to make me angry?
Yeah.
Why?
Maybe you'll get around to telling me why you're here.
My brother Donald has been in trouble ever since he came back. He thought perhaps he might hire a good private detective who would help him. And for some reason that I can't understand, he decided to hire you.
Thanks. Then why didn't he come here?
He was afraid to leave the house.
He sent you instead?
Yes.
What kind of trouble is he in?
Well, the kind of trouble where he might get murdered.
Usually a man in that kind of trouble goes to the cops.
Donald can't.
Why not?
Well, he doesn't want to get into the papers. Things like that.
He's shy?
Mm-hmm.
Good night, Miss Marlin. When it comes to protection, a private eye can't come within a couple of light years of the cops. Nobody afraid of being killed was ever that shy.
Well, I'm sorry. It's because of the purple cow.
The one nobody's ever seen?
Oh, no. No, this one is a little statue of a cow made out of purple glass.
How much is it worth?
Well, it's kind of an antique, and...
Your brother has it, but neglected to get legal title to it?
Something like that. That's why he can't go to the police.
I'll have to see him.
Oh, of course. We live at 39 Barchester.
39 Barchester.
Mm-hmm. Donald gave me some money to... Well, I guess it's called a retainer.
Uh-huh.
$200.
We'll consider it a retainer.
I guess it's too late tonight for you to see Donald, but... the first thing in the morning, Miss Gray?
The first thing in the morning.
Then, good night.
Good night. Miss Marlin.
Yes?
You said your brother had been in trouble ever since he came back.
Uh-huh.
Ever since he came back from where?
Why, St. Louis, Mr. Craig. St. Louis.
The dead Mr. Largo had also been from St. Louis. I crossed to the door and opened it. Sally Marlin was waiting for the elevator. Jake would have his troubles waking up. The elevator would have its troubles climbing all the way up to the third floor. I used the back stairs. By the time Sally Marlin would make it to the lobby in the street, I ought to be ready for her. In my car, halfway down the block. I was. She used a cab. And we went right. It wasn't a long ride. Her cab slowed down and stopped. I stopped. She paid the cabbie off and went inside. The cab scrammed. I started up. I drove past the place she'd gone into and memorized the address. It was not 39 Barchester. Barchester was way over on the west side of town. Maybe Sally Marlin had stopped off at the other address for a drink. You can get drinks at the Club 44, not to mention a ringside seat at a roulette game, a hand at poker, or a thug for hire. Maybe Sally Marlin had been thirsty. I didn't stop at 39. A man in a creased hat and a bulging overcoat was trying too much to look like the local scenery. I cut around the block and wondered. There'd be an alley leading to the back of 39 Barchester. There was. There was a man there, too, making like an ash can. I parked on the next block and took a walk. I was going to have trouble visiting my client. I decided to have trouble in the alley. More privacy than out front. Hey, Bud.
Huh?
You got a match?
Sure.
Thanks.
Forget it.
How's life among the ash cans?
Huh?
Kind of cold, isn't it?
It ain't warm.
You'll be glad to get back to the club.
No, I ain't kidding.
Well, what are you waiting for?
Cochran sent you.
What do you think?
Yeah, but he didn't say nothing about pulling me out of here. Hey, wait a minute. I seen you before.
Is that supposed to be a big surprise?
I seen you before. Your name's Craig.
Word gets around.
You're a dick, a private dick.
There's confidential investigator on my door. You don't need a gun. Keep your hand away from...
Wise guy, you...
Not tonight, you won't. He didn't. He fell down instead. I thought he might be uncomfortable lying on a gun. So I disposed of it for him. I wondered if he'd thank me for it.
Who's there?
Craig.
Say it again.
Craig. You want me to wake the neighbors?
Listen. Well, open the door slow. Want your hands in front of you and clean when I do.
Okay.
Otherwise, I start shooting. Hold it. Yeah. Come in.
Thanks.
I have to be careful.
Sure.
Sit down.
Thanks. Man with a purple cow can't be too careful.
What's a purple cow supposed to be?
Something you find in St. Louis, the way I heard it.
Just making sure Sally got to you.
She got to me.
She's a good kid.
Uh-huh. Marlon.
Yeah?
I could stand a little more information. For example, how did you get the purple cow in the first place? A
friend of mine handed it to me. He ran an antique shop in St. Louis.
Just gave it to you?
Sure. The thing isn't worth more than a couple of bucks.
And that's when all your trouble started?
That's when it started.
You could have yelled for the cop.
Sure I could have, but look. First of all, there were no witnesses around when I got that cow. Second, I didn't know what importance it had. Not until after I left St. Louis.
Why didn't you get in touch with the man who'd given you the cow?
I tried to.
And?
Found out somebody had pumped him full of lead.
This friend of yours had a record?
Yeah, and that was another reason I wanted to stay clear of the police. He'd been a fence.
What kind of stolen goods did he concentrate on?
Jewels, mostly.
Is that the cow up on the mantelpiece?
That's the cow, all right. I know what you're wondering, but no dice. It's made out of glass. I had it appraised.
Maybe it's hollow.
It's hollow. Nothing in it, either.
You know a man named Largo?
Largo?
Small, fair-haired man. Comes from St. Louis.
No, I don't. Why?
Oh, nothing important. You figuring on going out tonight?
No.
That's good. You'd have company if you did.
What kind of company?
Couple of hoods. Front and rear of the house.
Hoods. That's the kind of thing I mean. Why are they after me? On account of a hunk of worthless glass?
I don't know yet. Maybe I'll go ask some questions. Oh, these hoods, Marlon.
Yeah?
Work for a man named Cochran. Name mean anything to you?
Sure. That's the man my sister's going to marry.
I used the front door. The mug in the alley might be resentful. I had no time to soothe him. I had a headache. I wanted to go home and kill a couple of beers and sleep. Marlon was safe for the night. So was the cow. No reason why I shouldn't go home. Maybe that's why I didn't go home.
Good evening, sir. Welcome to Club 44.
Oh, I'm not a customer. Cochran, huh?
Mr. Cochran?
All right. Let's be formal. Mr. Cochran.
Mr. Cochran's not in, sir.
Okay. Take me to where he isn't in. Hot.
Listen, you...
No, I'm too tired.
Stop crowding.
You're all alone compared to what I could do to...
Tough?
Big.
You could be cut down.
Let Cochran try it. Come on.
Okay, take your hands off me.
Just a sample. Let's go.
Mr. Cochran isn't going to like this.
Maybe I won't like Mr. Cochran.
Ed?
gentleman to see you, Mr. Cochran.
Gee, thanks.
Mr. Craig.
Craig.
Hello, Miss Marlin. Hello, Cochran.
I couldn't start nothing out in the club, Mr. Cochran.
Don't be silly, sir. Mr. Craig is always welcome. Run along, huh?
Yes.
What are you doing here, Mr. Craig?
I confused it with 39 Barchester, maybe. The same way you did.
Nice to meet you, Mr. Craig.
Uh-huh.
Of course, I'm curious about why.
Sally Marlin hired me for her brother. She was worried about him, so she left my office and promptly headed here.
She, didn't want to worry alone.
Exactly what I was thinking. So I went on to 39 Barchester.
Oh?
The man watching the alley may have a little trouble with solid food for a while.
I see.
Marlin and I had a nice visit.
And you know about Sally and myself.
Sure. I also know you put those men on Marlin.
What, to protect him?
Then why'd he want me?
I didn't know that Mr. Cochran would be able to help my brother.
You did say help?
We've had a lovely conversation. I think it's over now.
I think it isn't.
You must have a reason.
I was hired to do something about the trouble Marlin's in.
And you're doing it here?
Let's say I'm trying to.
I hardly appreciate your sweaty efforts.
But you're the one who's sweating. Know a man named Largo Cochran?
Yes, I...
Never mind. He's dead. Pa?
Wonderful thing. The radio.
Uh-huh. Largo made a nice haul in St. Louis. Jewels. He turned them over to a fence who ran an antique store.
How interesting.
It gets better as we go along. The fence then turned around and handed Marlin a purple cow. Marlin left town. Largo left town right after him, to wind up dead on the floor of a hamburger joint.
What a distressing place to die.
I don't think Largo was bothered about the decor. He killed the antique boy when he found out his jewels were gone.
He was therefore after Marlin, presumably?
Presumably.
In that case, sir,
I was in the hamburger joint when Largo was killed.
If you will eat such dreadful stuff.
You knew Largo. You knew all about Marlin and the purple cow through Sally here. You have a couple of boys sitting on Marlin's tail. Mr. Cochran, how much of a chance do you think you'd have in front of a jury? Well, you agree with me. Not much of a chance.
Phil, that gun.
Shut up. What Mr. Craig has forgotten is that he's the only one outside of ourselves who knows all these things.
So?
I have no intention of being brought before a jury.
There's a pretty well-known road paved with intentions, Cochran.
I'm not traveling as yet, Craig, but I rather think you are. Keep your hands still. Sally, see if he has a gun.
Bill, I don't...
See if he has a gun.
All right. He had a gun, Bill.
Throw it here.
All right.
Sally?
Yes?
Run along home.
Bill, I won't let you.
Don't be a fool. You can put me in the chair.
But I don't.
Sally, I told you.
I can't let
you
do it.
You're in my way, you idiot. Craig, killing the lights won't help you. You've no gun, Craig. Be still. I can't hear.
My arm.
I don't twist arms for fun. Grab it. Grab it.
All right.
Thanks. The light, Sally. The thing to do in the dark is keep quiet, Cochran. Then nobody knows where you are.
I'll know better next time.
Sure, if there is a next time. Speak up, Cochran. I'll feed you the answers if it's your boys.
Who's there?
Lieutenant Rogers, homicide.
What do you know? Come in, Trav. Well, Lieutenant Rogers, and hello, Marlin.
Hello.
Donald.
I decided to yell for help to the cops.
About time, too.
After you left me, Craig, I began to worry. About those men watching the house, keeping me tied up, waiting.
Now, take it easy.
I'm all right. I worried about you, too. I knew you were coming here.
Thanks.
And about Sally. I didn't want her to commit herself.
This is ridiculous.
What is, Cochran?
The insinuation that I killed Largo.
That why Craig was holding a gun on you?
He thought he was mistaken.
Barry?
He might have killed me, Trav.
A very solid vote of confidence.
One thing bothers me.
A modest man.
That's because I never went...
Barry.
Okay, I'll save it. The thing that bothers me is, how did Largo find out Marlin was going to hire me?
Seems like a fair question. Would anyone here like to answer it?
Maybe we could throw a couple of possibilities out. Marlin wouldn't have told Largo for a lot of reasons. Among them, the fact that Largo was gunning for him.
Marlin, therefore, didn't.
Would Sally?
I never even knew this Largo.
A reasonable reply.
You're accepting it, Barry?
Uh-huh.
That leaves us
now with... Now, wait. Perhaps I did tell Largo something about it.
You found out through Sally?
That's true.
Oh, Bill.
I'm sorry, darling, but... You see, I've known Largo for a long time. When Largo told me he was after your brother, I thought perhaps I might discourage him.
It's an explanation. You like it, Barry?
Not much. Cochran told Largo because he hoped Largo would kill Marlin.
Oh, no.
Only reason it means anything. Then Cochran might inherit the purple cow.
But the purple cow is worthless.
Now, that can wait till later.
Sally, you told your brother that you'd mentioned the business of hiring me to Cochran.
Well, yeah, I guess so.
I demand a lawyer.
You'll get one, and a jury.
You know something, Tram?
Something like what?
Cochran was right when he said it was ridiculous.
When he said what was ridiculous?
That he'd kill Largo.
Oh?
Because he didn't.
Well, this is a fine time to tell me. Who did?
The person who understood my last question to Sally. The person who's making a beeline for the desk. Get the gun on it. Oh!
You mean it was...
Sure. Your brother, Mr. Donald Marlin. Mr. Marlin was very silent after that. It didn't take long to book him. Cochran didn't bother going along for the ride, but Sally did.
That's that. Sorry, Miss Marlin.
Well, I've always known Donald wasn't very...
Barry.
Yeah?
Before the D.A. embarrasses me, suppose you tell me why I've locked him up?
Sure. He was the only possibility who didn't know Largo.
I refuse to stand here and feed you questions. Use the narrative form.
Won't take a minute. Largo, back at the hamburger joint when he was waiting for my client to show up, said he wasn't worried about being spotted before he could kill him. That meant my client didn't know Largo.
It was Marlin's idea all along to kill Largo and implicate Cochran for the killing. But for a purple cow?
You've got Marlin's keys. One of them must be for a safe deposit box.
The boys are already checking.
Nice work, Trav.
Now, once you pointed a finger at Marlin, I realized that he was the only source for the purple cow fantasy. Actually, the antique store fence in St. Louis must have slipped the jewels to Marlin in an effort to defraud Largo. So Marlin invented the purple cow as a red herring?
We're getting our colors mixed, but that had to be the idea.
Yes. Good night, Mr. Craig. Good night, Miss Marlin.
I can't think of a last line.
Well, I can't either, but... Oh, you've been sweet, Mr. Craig. You never suspected me. Does there have to be a last line?
No. Good night, folks. See you next week.
You have been listening to William Gargan in another exciting transcribed mystery drama from the adventures of Barry Craig, confidential investigator. Tonight's story, Death and the Purple Cow, was written by Lou Vittis. Next week, it's a strange story titled Ghost of a Chance, about which Barry Craig has this to say.
In next week's story, a man comes back from the dead to haunt a wife who's been dead almost as long as he has. In an insurance scheme that almost, but not quite, cancels out yours truly. See you next week, folks.
Featured in the role of Sally was Arlene Blackburn. Barry Craig, starring William Gargan, was under the direction of Hyman Brown. This is Don Pardo speaking.
Now enjoy Meredith Wilson's Music Room on NBC.
Being a private investigator means two things. You can be sure you'll run into trouble, and you can never be sure you'll get out of it. Well, there's not much you can do about it, I guess. Except, like Julie always says...
Walk softly, Peter Troy.
And now Peter Troy investigates the second Peter Troy.
There's a story that somewhere in the world, everybody has a double. Doppelganger, it's called, by people who like to brood over things like that. And the story goes that when you happen to meet this double face to face, if ever, then you're about to die. Now, this is not a story over which I've spent many sleepless nights, although there was a time when the question of having a double did cause me quite a headache, a 24-hour headache. At the time, Julie said it was impossible for me to have a double in the true sense, because nobody in this wide world could mess up an office desk the way I do. A remark I didn't even consider worth answering. Anyway, it all began one evening in a crummy little pub in Soho, where a sleazy hoodlum by the name of Jinx Haywood was entertaining a lady of dubious virtue called Wilma Trickett.
Go and get another beer, Will. Where is your good girl?
Oh, Lord, that. Who was your servant last year? When I'm out with a gentleman friend, it's usually him what gets the drinks, not me.
Go on. What do you think of that, eh?
I don't know why I came out with you in the first place. Bringing me to this Olly Ball joint.
I used to go to the Ritz, I suppose. You and your gentleman friends. Gentlemen, that's enough, that is.
I'll have you now.
Yes, and I'll have you now. I'm getting tired of arguing with you ducks, and if you don't hurry up with that beer, I'm going to dump you right here.
I'll get a beer. I'll just take the glass in. Oh, why don't you look where you're going? Look what you've done. Bring them glasses and spilt all the slops down me dress.
Well, no, it's a shame, though. It's tough on you, lady.
Well, what are you going to do about it? That's what I'd like to know.
Is that a fact? Well, I tell you, ain't going to do nothing about it, except tell you to take your grimy little paw off my arm.
What? How dare you talk to me like that, Jinx?
You better apologize to the lady, chum. She's with me, see?
I figured she had no taste.
Now, then, you look here.
You get lost.
Who are you? All right, come on, Smarty. Get up on your feet while I finish the job proper.
I'll get up, all right, fella. But it's gonna be me who's finishing the job with this.
A fight in a crude sort of a joint in Soho, and a hoodlum is knocked off. I was pretty busy at the time. I didn't even get to see the account of it in the morning papers. I slept late after a longish night on the job, and of course Julie was already in the office when I got there. Busy dusting and polishing and putting away all my case papers where I could never find them without her help. This routine went on every morning, and I'd gotten used to it, so I took no notice, even though I knew it'd take me the best part of half an hour to get my desk comfortably messed up again. Good morning, beautiful. And indeed, a beautiful morning it is.
My, aren't we full of vim and vigor today?
Always busting with life and good cheer, honey. That's me.
Except when you're the soul of irritation, which is pretty often.
Huh?
Well, I'm glad you're in a good mood anyway. You have a visitor in your office.
Male or female?
Oh, you are joking. If it had been a female, do you think I'd have put her in your office just like that?
A man. Well, no time for clients this morning, Julie. Busy day ahead of me as it is. You just go and tell the gentleman to come back this time next year.
I'm afraid that wouldn't suit the gentleman at all.
Inspector Caswell. For Pete's sake, Julie, you didn't tell me the inspector was here.
Oh, I thought it might be a nice surprise.
Yes, well, I'm afraid nice is one thing it won't be. Where were you at around 11 o'clock last night, Troy?
Last night? Trailing a certain character who owes his a client of mine a lot of money. Was busy spending it at every night spot in town.
No. Anybody see you?
Well, don't be silly. Nobody sees me unless I want them to. You know that.
That's a pity.
Now, what is all this? Did I leave my car in a no-parking area or something?
No, you just committed murder, that's all.
I what?
Is this a joke, Inspector? It doesn't sound very funny to me.
Nor to me, I assure you, Miss Summers. I have two witnesses who are prepared to swear that Troy was in a certain pub in Soho last night at 11 o'clock. and that after an argument with the man over a gal, he shot the man twice, and the man died an hour later.
Now, this has to be a joke. There's no other way... Hey, but you're not joking, are you, Inspector?
I wish I were.
Yeah, but this is crazy. I wasn't in Soho at all. I was in the West End.
Can you prove that?
Well, of course I can't prove it. I told you.
Well, then, if you can't prove an alibi, will you tell me what I'm supposed to do?
You're supposed to take my word for it, that's what.
You know I can't do that, Troy. I'm taking a risk as it is. I should have been knocking at your door last night.
Oh, why didn't you?
I've known your boss for a long time, Miss Summers, and we've spent a good deal of that time working together. I gambled that he wasn't the sort of man to cut and run.
Well, thanks for that anyway. But if you feel like that, Inspector...
I still have to take you in. I don't need to remind you of that. These two witnesses identified you from a file photo.
What witnesses? Who are these people?
One was the barman in the pub. Name of Jerry Jackson.
Jerry Jackson, barman. Yeah, I know him. And he should know me by sight. He's seen me often enough.
Yeah, so he told us. And he's quite definite about it being you who shot the dead man.
Now, you said there was another witness.
Yes. The woman the two men fought over. One Wilma Trickett.
Wilma Trickett. Wilma Trickett, no. Rings no bell with me. Julie?
I've never heard of her, I'm sure.
She didn't know you by sight, but when she saw the photo, she was quite sure it was you, all right?
But it doesn't make sense.
Perhaps not. But unless you can give me a very good reason why I shouldn't arrest you, I'm going to have to take you down to headquarters.
Now, look, at least give me the kind of a break a pal would expect a guy to give. Give me the chance to clear myself.
How do you propose to do that?
Well, I don't know. I've been in a couple of days.
A couple of days? I can't wait that long.
Oh, but, Inspector, you can't...
All right. Now, don't you start, too. All right, Troy, I'll give you 24 hours. That's the best I can do. I needn't tell you there will be one of my men tailing you everywhere. 24 hours, Troy, and you'll have to come up with something or face a murder charge.
He didn't sound very friendly, did he? The inspector, I mean. Telling you you'll have to face a murder charge.
Well, he didn't like to do that, Julie. He can't help it. He's got to play the game by the book, and he didn't write the book.
Well, what are you going to do, Pete? 24 hours isn't very long.
You can say that twice. Tell you the truth, honey, I don't know what to do.
What about this Jinx Hayward, the man who was killed? You knew him, didn't you?
Yeah, I sent him up for 5 years once. It wasn't so long ago, either. Must have got time off for good behavior or something.
Oh, anyway, he's dead now. He can't help.
The only thing to do is start at the beginning, I guess.
The beginning?
Yeah, go see the bomber, Jerry Jackson, who identified me. And this, Wilma Trickett.
Are you sure you don't know her?
Oh, now, Julie, please.
No, I just wondered.
Now, this is no time for you to cross-examine me about some girl. Better get going. I've wasted half an hour of my 24 already.
You? What are you doing here? The police are looking for you.
I know, they found me. That's why I'm looking for you, Miss Trickett. My name's Troy, Peter Troy.
I know who you are. You don't have to tell me. I remember your face anywhere.
Mind letting me in? Don't think we should argue about this at your door. Neighbors would love to hear it all, I'm sure, but...
All right, come in, then. But you better not try anything. I can scream real loud, I can.
I don't doubt it.
Why haven't the police arrested you?
Maybe they're just giving me enough rope to hang myself. What do you have against me, Miss Trickett?
I don't have nothing against you. I never saw you till last night. You shouldn't have used that gun on Jinx. You didn't have no cause.
Jinx was a creep. You know it as well as I do. Since when did you worry about what happened to Jinx?
He was real nice to me, Jinx was.
Yeah, real nice, like letting you pay for his drinks.
What?
I talked to Jerry Jackson, the barman, before I came here. Said he didn't get the impression you and Jinx were getting along as well as you might.
He's a liar.
Is he? You mean he lied when he identified me as the killer? Just as you did?
I didn't lie. It was you, all right. I saw you as soon as I opened the door to you.
Yeah? Is that why you nearly called me darling?
I did no such thing. I thought it was someone else before I thought it was you, I mean.
Someone who looks like me, maybe, huh?
What are you talking about? I don't know nobody what looks like you.
Jackson said the guy he saw last night was almost exactly me, but that he didn't sound the same. His voice was different.
What would he know about his voice? He was over at the bar.
Yeah, but this guy who looks like me had quite an argument with you and your pal Jinx Hayward before he knocked him off.
Oh, I don't care what the barman said anyway. I've got eyes and I can see for myself. It was you what shot Jinx, and you're not going to get me to say no different.
Now listen to me, you little idiot. You're going to tell me the truth, or so help me out.
Take your hands off me. You let me go or I'll scream. I'll scream the place
who
down.
Who paid you? Who Who paid you to identify someone else as me?
I don't know what you're talking about. Let me go!
You put my neck in a noose and you're going to tell me why.
Let me go!
Okay, shut up. I've let you go.
I should think you would. And you got enough trouble to go on with?
I have. Thanks to you, sister.
You get out of here. Go on. I've got nothing more to say to you, and I hope they hang you.
I've been in some tight spots in my time, but this was really rough. Being on the point of arrest by my old friendly enemy, Inspector Caswell, for murder was certainly not my idea of a comedy situation. And the 24 hours he'd given me to clear myself might just as well have been 5 minutes for all the use I'd been able to make of it. When I got back to the office after a visit to Wilma Trickett, a dame who had identified me as the killer of her boyfriend, Jinx Haywood, one thing I was certain of, though it wasn't going to help me much at that stage, Wilma knew some character who looked like me.
But surely he couldn't look that much like you, Pete. I mean, the barman knows you. He wouldn't make a mistake, even if this Wilma Trickett did.
Wilma didn't make any mistake. She knew I wasn't the guy who shot Jinx. She opened the door and started to call me darling before she took a good look.
Oh, she called you darling, did she?
She thought I was this other guy. Huh. Now, Julie, what's the matter with you? Are you trying to pin this murder rap on me, too?
Oh, don't be silly.
Well, I'll try not to be, but with you, the conversation can get awful wacky at times.
Shall we avoid personalities? You don't have all that much time left if you're to straighten out this murder thing.
Now, you can say that again. Well, it's lunchtime, but I'll have to skip it. What I can't figure is, who is this guy who actually let off that gun last night?
And why would anybody try to frame you for it?
Yeah, well, that's easier. There are plenty of guys with a grudge against me. I've been responsible for too many prison sentences to have any doubt about that.
Peter, are you still interested in the background of the dead man?
Sure. Did you call the inspector?
Of course. You asked me to, didn't you? He couldn't tell me much, but he did say that the police believed Jinx Haywood was in partnership with a man named Harvey Jason.
Jason?
Hmm.
I remember him. Horse doping, illegal gambling. But Jason's no killer. As tough as they come, but strictly the knuckles only with Jason.
Well, that's all the police knew. And they don't have anything on either Jason or Haywood at the moment.
I may as well take it from there. Probably another dead end, but it's all I have right now. See you later, honey.
Yes?
Hey, buzz off, Troy. I ain't buying.
That's what you think, Jason. Just stay very still, Jason, or this gun is liable to make a hole in that stupid head of yours.
You can't bluff me, Troy. You're no killer.
Nice to meet someone who believes that. So happens, Jason, that I already have two strikes against me with the police wanting me for a killing last night. And the way things are, I'd just as soon take you with me.
You wouldn't kill me, Troy. I haven't done anything to you.
No? You mean you didn't get rid of your partner, Jinx Haywood, last night and set me up as the patsy with the police?
Of course I didn't. I'd no quarrel with Jinx. Him and me, we got along fine. Well, we had a good thing going. We talked about it only yesterday. And now he's gone, I can't go ahead with it.
What good thing?
With the horses. Oh, Nanny, if you don't know about it, but Jinx and me, well, we was partners in it. And now it's all off. Oh, I ask you, would I want to get rid of Jinx when we had a thing going with the horses?
Well, it's not like you to spoil any horse-doping scheme you dreamed up. No, I'll admit that.
Will you take that gun out of my face? You got me all nervous.
Okay, relax.
You know, for the minute, I wasn't too sure about you. Heard about Jinx getting it last night, and now it was you.
Wasn't me.
All right, don't get jumpy. You say it wasn't you, well, that's all right with me.
I don't have much time, Jason. Now, we've had our differences in the past, you and me, but I know you're not a killer.
Why kill a man when you can get better results by giving him a good beating? That's what I say.
Yeah.
But you're no killer neither, Troy. What's the score about this fight with Jinx?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
Hey? Yeah, but I heard some people identified
you. That's right. The killer's my double. At least that's the way it looks.
Well, don't get this. Who?
Somebody wanted to get me out of the way. It could be any one of a number of crooks. I made plenty of enemies.
You can say that again.
But this somebody wanted Jinx Haywood out of the way, too. And that narrows the field a bit.
Oh, I don't know nobody who want... Hey... Hey, wait a minute, don't I, though? Silvers, Danny Silvers.
Silvers? Well, he's in the big time. He wouldn't even know Jinx Haywood, crumb like that.
He didn't know Jinx, but he knows me. Maybe an offer to work for him a week ago.
I said no, on account of I don't like working for nobody. Not even a big-time operator like Silvers.
Well, Silvers doesn't like people to say no to him about anything.
You're right there. And getting rid of my right-hand man would be just his idea of getting even with me for not joining up with him.
He's got a long-standing grudge against me, too. Wouldn't think twice about paying me off any time the opportunity came up.
And you think it came up last night? Yeah, but who's this cove looks like you?
I don't know. But I've got an idea how to find out.
Yeah?
Feel like burying the hatchet and joining forces with me against a common enemy, Jason?
You mean help you to fix Silvers?
Yeah.
All right, but why not? Might as well help you have a go. What do you want me to do?
Hello?
Is that Wilma Tricky?
Yes, it is. Who's that?
Harvey Jason here, Wilma. Jinx Hayward's partner.
Oh. Oh, yes, I heard him speak about you.
I have no doubt. I had a hard time finding you, Wilma. I heard you moved into a posh new apartment at lunchtime today.
Yes, that's right. Things have been looking up for me lately. Thought I might as well enjoy it while I have it, you know.
A very good idea, that. You enjoy it while you have it, Wilma. Because I have a notion you just might not have it for long.
What? What do you mean by that?
I've been making a few inquiries, that's what I mean, Wilma. Inquiries about my old chum Jinx and about who arranged for him to be killed, see?
I don't know nothing about that.
No? Well, we'll see. All I want you to know, Wilma, is that I don't intend to let it go the way it is. I don't believe this story about that Peter Troy shooting Jinx, see?
He did, I tell you. I was there.
Yes, I know you were there. That's what interests me, like.
See here, Mr. Harvey Jason, if you think I'm scared of you, you've got another thing coming. I'll tell the police exactly what happened last night, and you've got no right ringing me up. Hello? Hello, Mr. Jason? Are you there, Mr. Jason? Oh, hang up on me, would he? Doesn't scare me. Oh, what are we going to do now?
Sister, I don't know you.
Oh, no, but you're going to be glad you met me just the same.
Yeah, why?
My name's Elsie. I'm a friend of Wilma's. Wilma Chicken?
Oh, well, that's nice.
I've heard such a lot about you from Wilma. How good-looking you are and everything.
Yeah, well, it's been swell meeting you, Elsie. But you'll have to excuse me right now. I got an appointment.
I know. With Wilma.
Yeah, well, I'll be seeing you.
Oh, but you can't go. Not to her new apartment.
Yeah, why not?
She gave me a message for you. She said to tell you Jason has sent some men up there.
Jason has?
Yes, they're waiting there. For you, she thinks. She got out the back way and she's gone back to her old place. She's waiting for you there.
I see. Well, like you said, Elsie, just as well you caught me before I walked into that trap.
Always happy to do Wilma a favor, you know. You too, handsome.
Yeah, why didn't Wilma come to see me herself, huh?
Oh, she was too scared. Thought those men might start taking a look outside the building and see her waiting for you.
Well, thanks, baby. Maybe I can do something for you sometime.
Oh, I'm sure you could.
Yeah, I remember that.
Mm.
See you later, maybe. Right now, I'd better get on over to Wilma's old place.
Well, thank heavens you're here. What took you so long?
I walked over. I didn't want to risk taking a cab. Cabbies remember faces.
And yours is a face to remember, Joe. You know, you look so much like that Peter Troy, I could scarcely tell you apart if it wasn't for the clothes.
Hmm.
And, of course, the voice. He talks a bit different.
Yeah, well, no, never mind him. What's the panic about, huh?
Harvey Jason rang, like I told you, on the phone. He sort of threatened me.
Sort of threatened you? I wouldn't worry about any guy who just sort of threatened me. Hey, this is a swell apartment you have here.
Just moving in today, huh?
Like I told you on the phone.
Yeah, sure beats that crummy old place of yours. Pity that Troy character couldn't see you in this joint.
Joe, about Harvey, Jason. He says he knows Troy didn't kill Jinx.
So what? He's right, isn't he?
Of course he's right. You know, and I both know that.
Yeah, well, easiest contract they ever got. Here or in the States. Not gonna have that creep Haywood. Yeah, boy, it was a piece of cake. Sure like to go on working for Silver.
Shh, don't mention his name, you fool.
Why not? He's our boss, ain't he?
You know he is. But he wouldn't like it if anyone else got to know that.
Yeah, well, it's nice of him to bring me all the way from the States to do this job for him, though. I gotta admit that.
What are you talking about? You know he didn't bring you from anywhere. You were over here and you went to him for a job and he just happened to notice how much like Peter Troy you are.
Yeah, that's right. It's the way it was.
Say, something rather funny about you.
You mean funny peculiar or funny ha-ha, Wilma?
Here, what's happened to your voice? You're not Joe Burton.
That's
You're...
right, Wilma. I'm Peter Troy. Thanks for giving me the information I needed. Just wanted to make sure you knew all about Silver's plot to frame me.
No, no, it can't be. Where's Joe Burton?
My double? He's with the police right now. He met them where they were waiting for him at your old place.
My old place? But I rang him. I told him to come here.
So you did. My secretary saw you make the call through binoculars from that apartment building across the way.
What?
We had her planted there just before Jason rang you. And we had your girlfriend, Elsie, meet Burton on his way here.
Elsie? I don't know anyone called Elsie.
Oh? Well, maybe you'd better meet her now. Come on in, Julie.
Mm-hmm.
You brought the inspector's manual.
Everything under control, please?
Yeah, just great. Oh, Sergeant.
Yes, sir?
Take this lady down to the inspector, will you? He's expecting her.
Right, Joe, Mr. Troy. Come along now, miss.
I don't understand it. I don't understand what's going on around here at all.
Well, all cleared up, friend, with a good 12 hours to go.
Yeah.
From the look of your Wilma, I don't think I needed to worry about your getting involved with her.
Yeah, I guess not. I was a bit nervous at the end there, but say, I did all right with that impersonation of Burton, though.
Mm-hmm.
Voice and everything. You know, I might keep it up my sleeve in case I want to,
You mean get away from me, perhaps?
Oh,
I don't think you'd ever make it.
Hmm?
So just walk softly, Peter Troy.
For the second Peter Troy, who was nearly the cause of my being up on a murder rap. Now, I was rather proud of the way I managed to convince Wilma Trickett that I was Joe Burton. All I had to work with was his clothes, which we took from him when he was arrested, and the sound of his voice to imitate. Now, there's one argument Julie and I have never settled since this case, whether my act was better than the one she did in the role of the non-existent Elsie. It's an argument that'll go on forever because I wouldn't dare admit to Julie that she had the edge on me. Well, the next thing, we'd find my nameplate changed to Troy and Summers, Private Investigators. Now, that I could not take.
This was an Archenza production, written and directed by Krizik Jenkinson.
That's Case Closed for this week. There's more from Barry Craig, Peter Troy, Case Closed, and everything else Relic Radio at the website, relicradio.com. If you'd like to help support this and all of the Relic Radio shows, help keep them coming every week, visit donate.relicradio.com or click on one of the links on the website. These shows are advertising free. Your support is the only way they keep coming. Thanks to those who have helped out. Thanks for joining me this week. Talk to you again next Wednesday with another hour of Case Closed.